You're listening to The Comedy Cellar, live from the table on the Riotcast Network, riotcast.com.
Welcome to The Comedy Cellar Show here on Sirius XM Channel 99, The Comedy Channel. We're here with the...
Erstwhile Kristen.
The inimitable Miss Kristen Montella and the exasperating Mr. Dan Natterman. We also have sitting at the table, for those of you who follow the show every week, the guy, Stephen Calabria, who Dan canned as our booker.
Well, that's a mischaracterization.
Excuse me.
So, and if we get to it, we'll get to that. Otherwise, you just sit here and stew in it, okay? Go ahead, Dan. You were telling us before we had...
Well, I was saying that, if you remember from last week, I had a new favorite snack.
What was the snack again?
It was cornbread crisps.
Yeah, cornbread crisps.
Right. Unfortunately,
they're no longer your favorite?
Unfortunately, the bloom is off the rose.
Why is that?
I just didn't stand the test of time. You know, I started to get... It just didn't last. The first few bags were great, and then all of a sudden, I just hit a wall.
I see a larger conversation.
Yeah, well, before my wife walks in, I think that's her actually now. I just want to say, sometimes novelty doesn't work. I've noticed this in my life with... relationships with foods, with songs, some things bear repeated,
but
whatever it is, juice.
Cheez-Its are still good after all these years.
Yeah,
that is true.
Cheez-Its, right. They stand. Cheetos,
I like
Gilligan's Island. Some things for whatever reason. No, I'm serious. Some things don't stand the test of time.
No, the other night, of course, there was a recent bombing in Chelsea.
Yeah,
that's what everybody's buzzing about. That the other night. Here at the comedy club, when the bombing,
by the way, Stephen was the first to say it was not an act of terrorism.
I did not say that.
Go ahead.
We'll
get to that. But so there was a group of people that were talking. For somehow, I guess they had their phones were on, which they shouldn't have been. But they were talking about the Chelsea bombing.
Phones were on where?
Downstairs in the showroom.
Oh, I
during
see.
The show, they started saying, "Hey, oh my God, there's a bomb in Chelsea! Holy
I
shit!"
See, I see,
and
I see.
They started chatting, and they were thrown out. And there was a bit of a. There was a brouhaha.
Who
sorts.
Threw them out?
I believe it was Mert.
What is with them throwing people out here? It's like, are they lost? Why did they throw them out?
Well, because they were making a lot of noise.
Did they refuse to be quiet?
And then after they were told to be quiet, they continued.
Oh, okay. Well, maybe.
I believe that's how it went.
Okay.
But the question is...
They weren't of any protected race or ethnicity that might get us in trouble, were they?
I don't believe so, no.
Okay, then it's all right. As long as they were white, you could throw them right out. Go ahead.
But it brought up an interesting...
no legal thing to worry
it
there.
It brought up an interesting question in my mind with regard to... Of course, recently we've had the 9/11 anniversary. What if a 9/11-level event took place during the comedy show? Would you... stop the show immediately? Would you? At what point of severity of an attack do you come downstairs and make an announcement, or do you just let David Tell continue to talk about
this is what
his midget friend?
This is what I would do if I found out there was a 9/11 attack upstairs
or that level.
Yeah, I would go downstairs and tell the managers very quietly, tell the waitress to go collect the checks, and I said some sort of computer glitch. Then once all the checks are collected...
Oh, God. You wouldn't want to mask scary people running out the door.
Then I would consider how to break the news
to
the audience that I've already taken their money. No, I'm kidding. I don't know. I'd have to play it by ear. I mean, you can't keep it a secret. It would clearly somebody would get it on their phone. I don't think I would go down and make an announcement.
Well,
no.
At 9/11, I mean, the phones, they do a pretty good job of keeping everybody's phones off.
No, they don't keep them off. They just keep them in not taking pictures, you know. People do text their babysitters and stuff like that.
I thought the rule is if we see a phone on, you're out. I mean, that is the stated rule downstairs, I believe.
I don't know if that's the rule, but it's certainly not the way we enforce it. We only take serious action when somebody is trying to record or photograph an act.
I mean, at this stage, we'd probably get one of those, you know, they're sending alerts for everything now. So everyone in that room would probably get one of those, like, shrill Amber Alert type sounds, and it would just be very obvious.
I actually have a question.
Are you allowed to speak? Dan, can he speak? Dan has veto power over your speaking.
Oh, my God. All right.
You're taking this too far.
No, you see how you're going to throw a hissy fit now.
No,
go ahead. Sit right there.
Good.
Sit down there
here.
And take it. Go ahead. Go ahead, Dan.
Oh, God.
He may speak.
Go ahead. He said you can speak.
Why?
I have a question.
Yes.
Do you have the same reaction to anyone who records anything in the cellar? So, for example, if someone wants to record Paul Mercurio Are they going to receive the same punishment as somebody who wants to record David?
We'd probably send them for a psych evaluation. After
listen,
that,
Paul McCure is a good friend of mine, actually. No, I mean,
First of all, Noam is not down there enforcing this. No. So it's not really Noam's call.
Listen, the truth
Noam sets a general tone, and then the people down there enforce it as they will, as they see fit to do. But Noam is not really hands-on with that.
But I think it's enforced pretty unilaterally.
No, like when Louis is about to go on, all the way, no one's allowed to take orders. Everybody's supposed to stand in their section. Everybody, it's a full court press, as it were, when Louis is on, worried about people taping. Because a Louis bit which comes out prematurely is a huge, first of all, it's going to go viral. Louis may not be happy with it. It's a serious matter. Stephen Calabria bit. Mm-hmm. Nobody cares as much about that, including Stephen Calabria. It's you know.
If anything, it's
Stephen Calabria is not panicking that some bit of. If anything, he might be happy for the exposure.
That being said,
I don't know where a Natterman bit falls on that continuum, but it's on the spectrum. Go ahead, Dan.
Speaking on the spectrum, as I've often accused of being.
That's now, why I said it.
That being said, Noam, the stated rule is no phones out or you're out. And I believe that's fairly rigorously enforced.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I don't like to throw people out.
Then you might want to discuss that with the throw people out people.
There's a classic story. I've told my staff this a million times of the guy, Kristen and I know him, Patrick, the skinny black guy, the bartender at the grill. Very, very great guy. He's a bartender at this restaurant a few blocks away. Who had a customer thrown out for good reason. Mm-hmm. The customer waited outside and shot him. Mm-hmm. And these stories are not that uncommon. There are some of the most serious club fires have been started by customers who came back and set the place on fire. So every time you publicly humiliate someone or anger someone, whatever it is, there is a risk that you are taking. I don't know if it's smaller risk than the fact that I still have my Samsung 7 Note, 24 out of a million. But it's a risk that you have to be aware of, and you have to decide whether it's worth taking. I think it's always better, and also disrupts the show. I think it's always better to try to find a way to let the people stay. Unfortunately, it always becomes a matter of ego between the person who told the customer whatever it was and the customer who didn't want to listen to it. And it's very difficult to back down. And as a matter of fact, you get some insight into the cops sometimes when I see my security guys just totally, really? just let it go. Like, they go crazy. Now they're good. I mean, I've had this experience where, like, some guy takes out a cigarette. You know, not allowed to smoke in a bar. They smoke a cigarette, and so they're trying to throw him out. He doesn't want to go out. And he's, what's the matter? Oh, he's throwing him out.
Already.
And it gets physical. They're throwing this guy out for smoking a cigarette, and he turns into a fight. I'm like, why are you throwing him out? He's smoking a cigarette. I said, okay. You know, if he wouldn't leave just by telling him to leave, it'll be okay. And if the cops show up, we can say, listen, he wouldn't leave. We don't need to take that risk of a physical interaction over a cigarette. It's not really a threat to anybody.
But for the comedy show, it's a bigger...
It's a disruption.
It's a different situation. No, if somebody's, like, really talking over... I mean, at a certain point, you have to... It's ruining the show for everyone.
There is a time you have to ask somebody to leave.
Yeah.
Unfortunately... It's not always considered dispassionately. Unfortunately, ego very often and anger and reaction to, like, sometimes this has happened. This is the ultimate example. Happened not long ago. There was a big argument about a customer didn't want to pay his check. It was bullshit. He said he didn't know the coverage. The guy was totally full of shit. And they were waiting for the cops to come, and the security guys are kind of standing in front of him. And then he says, "I'm leaving." And he tried to push past him. And all of a sudden, the security guy pushes back, and a fight. I said, "Whoa, right. Just let him go." But he didn't pay his check. It's okay.
Right.
You know, his check was $40 or whatever. Just let him go. We're not going to have a fight here and the cops here and all this at risk for a $40 check. And they know. I always tell them. I've told them a million times. Let them go. I don't give a shit about collecting the check. I've said this 1,000 times.
Announcing now publicly?
Yeah, right. Yes, I'm announcing now, right now. I've told people, if it's going to get physical, just let them go. So why don't they just let them go? because they don't like to see the customer get over on them. It has nothing to do with collecting the money for the boss. It's all about the human ego. And that's too often involved in
it. But I think there is something, especially for our, you know, security guys. They've been there a really long time, most of them. And
they're great. We have the best security guys. Other places are 10 times worse.
I'm saying that there is a sense of kind of pride that they have in the place. And I don't think it's all ego. Ego definitely feeds in. But I think they feel like it's somebody's taking from them.
Listen.
We're
talking about it. And because the topic was throwing people out instead of how great the security guys are, I'm saying something negative about things that we deal with security.
Yeah.
But the truth is, everybody knows it. Our security guys are fantastic.
Well, right. I don't know. Who's everybody that knows this? I'm not saying they're
anyone
not.
Anyone who comes here.
You make it sound like it's everybody. That's all anyone talks about is how great the security guys are.
Well.
I was at a wedding the other day. They said, you work at the cellar? My God, they have good security.
Shut up.
Hi.
I mean, you know, I'm not saying they're bad. I'm just saying it's hardly the talk of the town.
No, but we do get a lot of, like,
our guys
reviews
are friendly
and stuff where
and
people
warm.
Mention that the security guys are...
I've read Yelp, but I've never seen such a review, but I haven't seen
it. And
it.
When we get bad reviews about the security guys are 99 times out of 100 in the right. Some guy who was drunk and was behaving like a jackass. You know, I say this, and I'll introduce the guest. Never once has somebody, you know, said to a customer, listen, sir... You're too drunk. We can't let you in. And the customer says, you know something? You're right. Thank you.
I bet you I could comb those Yelp reviews from here to the second coming, and no one will mention how great the security guys are.
How many will mention how great Dan Aderman is?
Maybe none, but that's
right,
not the discussion.
That doesn't make
no
it less
said,
true.
No, you're, just not, said, you're not right. We do get...
No one just said, everybody knows we got the best security.
Oh, God, why are you doing this?
Because that's a ridiculous statement.
It's something that happened in his childhood.
No, it's nothing that happened. I'll tell you why I'm doing it. Because, number one, when I get angry, the quality of the show goes up. That's number one.
That's true.
And number
you nerd.
And then number two, everybody knows we have the greatest. What kind of ridiculous? Anyway, Mike Lawrence.
How's it going?
How do you do, Michael?
Good.
Mike Lawrence is
best
here.
Security of this club.
Well, that's all
greatest
anybody,
security.
You know, that's all anybody talks about.
No, the security is like a thankless thing. You only notice it if it's not good.
That's right.
It's like makeup and hair. Yeah.
Good comparison.
Welcome. Mm-hmm. You're the. This is your
debut.
First time. Your debut.
Yeah.
Here on our humble program, and we do thank you for coming.
Thanks, man.
And. You wrote for the Amy Schumer Show, which is no longer in production.
Nope.
But you certainly were involved with that. But yeah. more interestingly, I think, is you're also a comedy... Well, the show is over.
I know, but still interesting. But go ahead.
Well, but something that's a little more relevant in terms of what's in the news is you were writing for the recent roast on Comedy Central.
Yes, yes, the Rob Lowe roast.
The Rob Lowe roast.
The Ann Coulter with Rob Lowe roast.
And, of course...
How do you... sorry, Dan. Go ahead.
Well, didn't you write some of the jokes for Ann, or you tried to
amuse
them? How did that work?
I personally worked with Ann Coulter and haven't killed myself, so I'm a hero.
Aww.
But yeah, it was the toughest part of the job, but also amazing in the sense, like, we're in this era now when if you do like a shitty gig or any type of thing, you're like, well, this will make a fun podcast story.
Yes. You really can't lose.
Yeah. I'll be able to talk about this sometime. And,
but did she use your jokes or she did use some of them?
She used a couple of them. And it's funny, like, at first I was more upset that she rejected a lot of them. And then watching her try to tell jokes was like, the best way I could describe it is there was an episode of the show At Midnight where they had three Vine stars on, and I was talking to someone about it, and they're one of the writers, and they're like, it's not only that we had to tell them which jokes to use, but we had to try to teach them how to do comedy in 2 hours. And it's like, Anne doesn't have that part of her, you know, brain or whatever. So she was literally just reading the prompter with no sense of humor.
Can you tell us what jokes that she used that you wrote?
There was one it was about Jimmy Carr. Jimmy Carr is here thanks to Obama's lax immigration policies.
That was good. She is that the joke? She told one joke which you saw everybody laughed at despite themselves. They, you know, because they were really.
I think that was it. Yeah.
Yeah. We know Ann Coulter here.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And she's well liked.
Yeah.
Nothing about her politics. She's well liked as a human being.
Yeah, sociopaths usually are.
And well. Oh boy, you're tough. You're a tough cookie.
Well, you also have to remember Mike Lawrence.
At two, Mike.
Yeah. Also, I mean, if you look at Mike Lawrence, he lives in Brooklyn, number one, right?
Is that yeah, correct? I look like Brooklyn.
Enough.
If Brooklyn was a person, yeah.
He is the epitome of.
Yeah, I'm the spirit animal of people who use the phrase spirit animal.
Right.
Perfectly said. I will not add to that.
So meta.
To add to that would only detract. So that's what we're dealing with, Noam, a very, very left-wing individual.
Can you not recognize as someone who you vehemently disagree with is nice and polite and treats people well?
Oh, yeah. And she was on the surface, but then it was like there were parts where it was just like, all right, you clearly don't want to be doing this. It's very obvious, you know, like even the basic, like not laughing at other people's jokes, which is like roast 101. Even if you don't find them funny, it's like...
Except no one has ever been subjected to something like that. It was so mean what they did to her. So mean.
Yeah, but the thing is...
Even Kurt Metzger was annoyed about it.
If she had been self-aware about it, she could have had the set of the night. I truly believe that.
You're right, but she's not experienced enough to
yeah.
Now, Noam, did she call you and ask for recommendations for writers? I think you had mentioned that. Or she had called looking for somebody specific.
She emailed me to get the name of a comic that she wasn't sure the name of, and I thought it was Jeff Ross, so I referred her to Jeff Ross. And then I also referred her to Sam Morril.
And now why did you refer her to Sam Morril?
Because I thought he might be... I was trying to think of who might be good to help her
well,
write
it's
some
just
good roast. He does a lot of roast stuff.
I must confess
yeah.
to having been slightly annoyed, because if you recall the night Anne was here last time and saw the show, she loved me.
Oh, God.
In fact, well, by her own statement, I was her favorite of the night. And she went on and on and on and on.
Did you happen to be sitting at the table when she did this?
The truth is, I think
she came over to me and said, oh, my God, you are our favorite.
I think she meant Kevin, though. Actually, no. In retrospect, I think she meant Kevin Brennan.
No, in retrospect, she did not.
She knows you.
So it might have been nice to say, well, maybe Dan could help you.
You know, you're absolutely right, and I apologize.
I'm surprised she didn't bring me up, which, of course, is another issue that I'll have to take up with her when
all,
I see her.
I bring you up for every single gig, and I asked Judd Apatow, everybody. It never occurred to me that you would want to write roast jokes for Ann Coulter.
You're the guy who you're like, you watched and you're like, I could have saved this. Are you like the guy?
I'm not saying.
Are you like the sea captain who was like, you know, if I was steering the Titanic, I would have seen the iceberg.
No.
I would have known.
No, but
I know how to steer a Zeppelin. The Hindenburg would not have.
No, but it would be nice to get in with the White Star Line.
What's the White Star Line?
That's
mean?
The Titanic people.
Oh,
I'm saying it'd be nice to have some contacts over at a big shipping company, or Comedy Central in this case. I don't think I could have.
Well, you know, Dan, they're always looking for up and coming young talent. So you just wait long enough, and
well, now somebody just set off not a conventional but a nuclear weapon.
What?
He just was making fun of my age.
It's a joke.
Yeah, but dude, that's going too far.
Okay.
It's going fucking too far.
I'm sorry.
Well, he didn't call you a hatchet-faced bitch. Like they called Ann Coulter.
I mean, I don't know.
It works in a British accent.
I don't know. We don't really know each other well enough to get to that level.
Oh, was that
of,
Jimmy? Then I take it back.
Of,
I love Jimmy.
Of ball busting. You know.
I didn't realize age was such a...
You don't make fun of an older comic when you're a younger comic.
You're not old.
Compared to Mike Lawrence, I'm old, number one. Number two, he's got a job at Comedy Central. I don't. He's like, well, we're always looking for young people. You don't realize the extreme degree of that statement? This is not a roast battle. I know you won roast battle, and we're all happy for you. But here we're nice.
Okay.
All right.
You started out by
we're
saying
nice.
When you get mad, the show is better, which is basically waving a red cape in front of a bull for everybody to try to
right,
make you angry.
Make you mad.
Yes,
and based on how I eat, I will never live to your age.
Well, now he's being self-deprecating and taking a swipe at me at the same time, but that's, at least he's got the self-deprecating thing in there. By the way, I don't want to ignore her. She's been here sitting amongst us now for about 5 minutes, very politely. Sashir Zamata.
Zameda.
Oh, you say Zamata.
Dan, how many
you say Zamata.
I'm sure that I'm not the first person to make that error. But
it's still funny.
And Will Sylvans is hovering.
He's going to be a creep right now.
Will, actually, I have to leave soon. You want to take my spot when I leave?
Oh, God.
I got a host soon.
What time are you hosting? 7:30. Okay, I'm going to the Adele concert.
By the way, I had a dream the other night. I had a dream the other night that Adele made a surprise. On Friday night, we do music here at the club.
Yeah.
And I had a dream that Adele stopped by to sing, and she sang Don't Stop Believing, and she cleared the room. She stunk the place up. That was my dream.
You guys know that she's going on a hiatus?
Adele?
She said she's going for a 10-year break to raise a kid.
Good for her.
Wow.
You better enjoy tonight's concert.
A lot of good musicians out of work now. Two or three musicians I work with her.
Oh, yeah. So she employs a lot of people that come here.
She employs a lot of musicians who used to be in our band, yeah.
Way to just come over and usurp the mic from our esteemed guest, Will. Thank you.
Well,
a breaking announcement about Adele.
Yes. Yeah. I don't know how this works. I was like, should I just interrupt?
Yeah, just
tell you how this traditionally works. I give a long, drawn-out introduction.
Oh, okay.
Adding details that are of no real value. So let me commence. Our guest today is the rising star of Saturday Night Live. She's in her third season.
Yeah.
She comes to us from what part of the...
Brooklyn.
Brooklyn is in the house.
More Brooklyn, yeah.
And she's as lovely in person as she is on television.
More.
I would say more
beautiful
say
in
more
person.
So.
Oh, that's nice.
And her name is not Sashir Zamata, but as it is spelled, but Sashir Zamata.
As it's spelled.
As, as it is also spelled.
It's a common mistake, though, yeah.
Welcome to our program. What did you think of the exchange that I... Did you think Mike Lawrence was out of line and calling me old?
I honestly didn't, hear the insult the way you heard it, so I... But if you heard it as an insult, then you have rights to feel the way you feel. I don't want to.
I don't
want to
make it weird
that.
Between me and Mike. Mike, you know I love you. I just had to school you in
Dan,
that
let
one.
Let it go, Dan. Let it go. It's done.
I'm just saying.
Tap out on this one. It's done.
It's not done.
Oh God.
I will never tell a joke on a comedy podcast again.
No. You can.
You know, holding grudges is a sign of age.
You're welcome to tell a joke, but I felt that there is a certain, I feel. Limit, but
God,
Sashir doesn't get it because she's so young and fresh and delightful. She doesn't understand what it is to be
I'm just an
older gentleman.
Baby idiot.
No, you're not a baby idiot, but you the young will never realize what it is to be young.
Oh, I guess, yeah.
Until you get older, you don't know. Sure. To you, this is what life is. It's just one big...
Oh, well.
Yeah, but you have to use a mic to do so.
First of all, two things. Why comics are so sensitive? Number two, everybody's afraid of Mike because of the damage he did on the comedy roast.
Dan's not afraid of Mike.
Oh, Mike is dangerous. Mike is lawless.
Lawless, that's a good description.
Well, I'm not afraid of Mike. I'm just not of the roasting genre.
I'm not either.
Dan, we have a member of...
And Mike and I, you only roast the ones you love. That's the old Friars Roast motto. And Mike and I don't really know each other that well.
Dan, you have a member of the Saturday Night Live cast and...
No, we should talk about this argument a little bit
from
more.
The Andy Schumer thing. If you guys don't know this show, this really, we have famous people come on here and they say what they think of Dan. This is really...
There is that element, but that's only one of the things that we do on this program. Now this is your.
We shared a car ride to and from New Jersey. We're close.
Well, when was that? I don't recall.
That was a couple years ago. This guy was trying to film a comedy pilot.
Oh, that thing. Yeah.
And it was great because he told us to be clean, and then he was bombing, and he was like, "Fuck it," and then just started doing pussy fart jokes.
Oh God.
Yeah, it was amazing. So I thought we were close because of that.
Well, there's no hard feelings.
Jeffrey Gurian was there.
Oh God.
Yeah. So, yes, there was press,
I'm still mad at Jeffrey Gurian.
Look, we all have sensitive points, I think. Very few of us don't have any sensitive points. Sashir, do you have any Achilles heels that we might avoid lest we provoke your anger?
I'm pretty chill, honestly. It takes a lot to make me angry.
How did you get discovered to go on Saturday Night Live?
One of the producers saw me at UCB doing improv in, 2011 or something. One of the AD at the time suggested that someone come see our group.
What's AD?
Artistic director.
Artistic director.
Yeah. And my group is composed of three black ladies, and that was a thing that the show didn't have at the time. So he was like, let's get them all together.
Was that during that controversy where...
No, that was before. It was within the 7 years when they didn't have a black female
actress. Keenan was playing every black female.
Yeah. And they didn't see a problem with it.
I won't put you on the spot and ask you what you think about that whole 7-year
period.
Thank you. But at some point when you leave the show, I'd like you to come back on and tell us what you thought about it.
Okay.
Dan was very offended by it at the time, I know that.
Personally?
No, he's making that up. I wasn't terribly.
You loved it.
I was neither here nor there. I do miss Ellen Cleghorn. She was one of my favorites over the years.
She's great.
I don't know whatever became of her. I haven't seen her.
She's on a couple shows. Don't know.
You could tell us what you think about the fact that Woody Allen doesn't use many black characters in his movies.
I'm not concerned with that.
Oh, you're not concerned with that.
I'd find it weirder if he did in some ways. Like, if he tried to write
like a black
an authentic black characters, yeah, like if his stories are about like all these like New York Jews and then forced it in, because I mean I'm all for diversity, but sometimes some of the attempts are just fucking embarrassing.
Yeah,
I was,
he writes what he knows, and if he doesn't know,
he could just
write a black person, but using the Woody affectation. Like, you know, I was at a Jay-Z concert.
when they forced a Human Torch to be black.
Oh, you didn't like that?
Hell no.
Really?
No, I did not like that at all. Just like,
if that was your problem with the movie, you didn't see the movie. even racists were like, well, he was okay.
No, that was not, I mean.
Well, they like to see
my movie. I mean, that had a lot of problems with that movie, but, I mean, I just keep it on the subject.
What about a black James Bond?
Well,
if it's Idris, I'm all up for it.
Yeah, the only requirement should be someone who is sexy,
yeah,
and suave.
And British.
British is it has to be, but black. But
you heard Trevor Noah's joke about it?
No.
Whereas James Bond, he's supposed to be like, you know, in Scotland, and he hides very easily. He runs into a crowd, and they can't find him. If he's black, they'd be like, there he go.
I've never seen someone take over a comedy podcast with other people's material.
And Mike.
My joke about it was that the same people who were dead set against the black James Bond seemed to be quite happy with a white Jesus. But anyway, I thought that's
not more of a joke. That's more of
an observation.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Wait, but can I spin the question that you just asked? How did you feel about going on to SNL at the time that you did? Was there somewhat of a, okay, they need somebody? Or were you kind of, were you happy, like, oh, I get to be the person that really shows them what they've been missing?
Well, I'm happy to be on the show, period.
Right.
And I was already auditioning. It was, like, before all the blogs were posting all this stuff about, like, the lack of diversity, I was already auditioning. So it was already a goal of mine. And then it happened to be the year where I was ready was the year that everyone was like, find one immediately.
And did you feel pressure? Did there like extra pressure?
I guess, but I don't know. I just kind of like keep my eyes on my own paper and like just do my job.
Yeah.
How about a white chef?
Will is getting ready to spring like a cheetah.
I don't like the black James Bond, I have to be honest.
And here he goes again.
Wait, before SNL, what was your big goal? Like, what was your, like, was it to get on SNL or was it another goal?
Number one, I just want to say that's a good question.
Yeah.
You could have written on a piece of paper and handed it to me.
Will, you got to go on, Will.
Bye. SNL is definitely
a goal. Said Will doesn't have good questions. But
You know, never not enough credit was Deborah Wilson on Mad TV.
She's my fave.
Sure. She's the best.
She's like a big.
She should have been a major star. She was on that show like 8 seasons. She could sing. She could act.
She can do everything.
She was fucking funny.
Well, did you answer the question about your goals prior to SNL?
No, because you interrupted her.
But then Mike Lawrence interrupted too.
All right, go ahead. What was the question? Repeat
Don't
the question.
Shake your head like
was,
a grandmother.
Was SNL a goal of mine, I guess? Oh. Or was that the goal?
Did you have a goal, another goal before that? Or?
I mean, I want to do everything. I want to be a producer. I want to be a mogul. I want to have my own production company, make TV shows. I want to write movies and be in them. Yeah, I want to do a lot.
Wow.
How long have you been doing comedy?
7 years.
You do stand-up.
I do stand-up.
How come you don't work here? No, does she work here?
I haven't.
She's never put in here. Do you want to work here?
I do, I would love
it's
to.
It's not hard.
Okay. All right.
Don't say that. That's not true.
Well,
if you're on the cast of SNL.
Well, yeah, if you're funny, it's not hard.
We usually make allowances for the cast of SNL to perform here anytime they want.
At a minimum, you'll get an audition. and probably start working here. And we do offer 50% off on food here. Now, unfortunately, the kitchen is closed for renovation.
I hope you get a phone call from Melanie Hutzel after this. Like, former SNL people are like, is there anyone from SNL?
Who's the one, the blonde who has become like an arch conservative and found
Jesus?
That's
Victoria Jackson.
Victoria Jackson, yeah. That's a sad story.
Well,
I liked her.
I did like her a great deal. I thought she was funny.
Yeah.
There's a big cast. The cast is getting so big on it. How many people in this year's?
I think there's 16.
It's like a Cecil B. DeMille production.
It loses something by having such a
like
big cast.
Like Ben-Hur.
Very big, yeah. Very
no, but
big
you
cast.
Need that. You need that to cover different topics. Well, you need diversity. You need different looking people, different talking people.
I get
people.
It, but there was something to seeing a small cast doing numerous skits in one night, which was just a different experience.
Yeah,
that's just me.
It's the show that everyone always liked better when you
right.
know
that's true. That is true. That is
well,
true.
I'm not one of these guys. I did like it better.
Like Carol Burnett had a small thing. It was kind of fun. That's those same few people doing the thing.
You know what a heartbreaking moment for me last night? I was on the plane and I was watching. Like, I was sitting next to this like girl who must have been like 8 or 9, and she was watching New Simpsons and laughing. And then I had to admit, like, it does exist for a new generation. It's just not for me anymore. But, like, because I hate the new episodes, but I'm like, well, it's making these people happy. And there's kids now who grow up on SNL, yeah. and they think it's the best thing ever. And that's right. how shit goes.
My wife's sitting here. She gets furious because all I watch is Columbo reruns and Star Trek original series. That she doesn't understand. But I love it. I can't help it.
My favorite,
and Mary Tyler Moore.
My favorite SNL group was the Hartman, Carvey, Myers, Lovitz era. I'm not one of these guys that's like all about the original cast. I never loved them.
When I came in, I was the 17th cast member. That was the biggest cast that we've ever had. And it felt big.
It feels big, right?
It feels big,
and
yeah.
you're struggling to get on, too, right?
Yeah.
I mean, how...
It's a lot of fighting for airtime and fighting for writers and fighting.
It must make Lauren's job a lot harder.
Yeah, I imagine. I don't know. Or maybe it doesn't. I don't know what the thought process is with bringing more people in, but you know, maybe he just loves everybody so much that he has to have them on.
When's this current season start? It hasn't started.
October 1st is our premiere.
What do you have anything in the works in terms of characters you're working on or
Yeah.
You do?
She can't tell you that.
Can't tell you. Yeah.
Who's hosting the
hoping
first?
Hoping that it airs.
Who's hosting the first week?
I don't think I'm allowed to say. I think they have to announce. Yeah.
Is it somebody really, really good?
Yeah. Yeah. It'll be a good one. I'm excited.
Is it Hillary Clinton?
No.
Oh, that would be awesome.
No.
And Kate won the Emmy.
Kate won the Emmy. Yes.
That's awesome.
Great. And she's been nominated 4 times, I guess.
Really?
It's like essentially as long as she's been on the show, which is amazing.
Who won the Emmy?
Kate McKinnon.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, supporting actress. Yeah, which she well deserved. She's so great. And
no, just a heads up. But when do you have until?
Well, old man, I need to go. I'm going to the Adele show.
Now you said you have to go.
Yeah.
Is it you have to because you want to, or you have to because you have to?
But you have to.
I kind of have to.
Once or not, he has to go.
I have to because I have to. I sort of want to see Adele, but as you know, like I have friends who are in the band, and I have to go and support them.
He puts on a great show.
Yeah. I heard.
I'm sorry you had to see the greatest singer in the world.
Yeah, right.
Oh,
I mean, her, like, feel badly for you.
Her banter, she makes like a whole stadium feel like a small club room.
I gotta fucking eat filet mignon.
Yeah. Let me ask you this question, Noam.
I don't want to go see anybody at the Garden. I don't know. Go ahead.
Yeah, I have a quick question for you with regard to Mike's comment about her being the best singer in the world, which I can't speak to. But you mentioned the other night there's a friend of yours, and you said, well, I can't figure out why he didn't make it. He's a singer.
Yeah.
And this question I come up against all the time in my own head, and I don't know what the answer is just being able to sing really, really, really well, is that enough? Is there such a thing as being such a good singer that stardom is inevitable or nearly inevitable?
Well, I'm gonna tell you what I said was, Dan always says that you have to have a lot of luck to make it. I said
I was referring to the comedic context.
Yeah, I said he's so good, he was unlucky not to make
it.
Okay. That's why I put it.
Right.
He is a guy. We had Adele's background singers. We had all these great singers here that night. And everybody's fantastic. And then Mike Davis, who's the guy we're talking about, is just sitting down, and he's gained a lot of weight, and he just started singing, and the Olive Tree went quiet. Like, I mean, just the charisma and the quality of what he was doing, it was like It was like a, it was unbelievable, the change in the room. And everybody from, including the comedian table, just sat and watched. He sang a pretty long song and then went crazy when he finished. People had never heard this guy sing before, and he was barely even trying. And that, when you see something like that, yeah, usually people like that will get noticed, you know? And normally, if they can do that in this room, they can do it in a bigger room, and they can do it to America.
Well,
but for whatever reason,
who in your
happen.
Estimation is he as good as that is a big star?
He's as good as anybody.
Well, but who's like, who in your estimation is somebody
he's
that's
as good
sing-
as R. Kelly or Marvin Gaye or he's not a writer like
but did Marvin
Prince
Gaye
is.
Write music?
Yeah,
as
Marvin
well?
Gaye.
Well,
wrote, yeah.
Maybe that's the answer.
No, but he's as good. He's as good as Teddy Pendergrass for sure, and he can write too. He's just not. He's as good as anybody, and everybody who knows him knows that he's as good as any. He's known by famous people all over the country.
And then Adele was like kind of like a, you know, throwback to that, because you look at like the 90s and you had, you know, remember women writing and singing their own songs was a fad, and there was like a festival for it for 3 years.
Yeah, Lilith Fair.
Yeah, exactly. And then Britney killed that. Like that died with Britney and then Christina and these overproduced songs. And then Kelly Clarkson was kind of a blend of that. And then Adele is the,
she brought it
I'm
back.
Just going to sing. Mm-hmm. Like, you're going to go see this show tonight. It's going to be 2 hours. She's not going to dance or anything. It's just going to be
right.
her. And sometimes that should be enough.
Yeah. I hate the dancing during these shows. Like, I've seen a lot of Prince concerts. The yeah. worst ones, by far, was when he had all those dancers and all that stuff. The best ones where you just saw Prince playing the guitar and bass. Right. And
yeah.
singing, you know, by I mean, not, it wasn't just my reaction. You could tell the reaction of the audience.
Yeah.
Although watching Beyonce sing and dance for 2 hours is amazing.
Yeah, Beyonce's a different thing altogether.
Yeah, she's in her own category.
I've never been able to get into her as much as I want to. I like the newest album the best, but I don't know why I resent the way she got famous.
The way?
The dad. The pushing her in spite of these other girls.
That
like,
happens a lot, though. That's like
I know.
A lot of people's stories.
Yeah, but it just, there's something about it.
Like, is it like, creepy? Or
it just feels like a product. Like there was that Simpson episode where Lisa was in the beauty pageant, and there was the girl, Amber Dempsey, who had, like, the fake eyelashes, mm-hmm. and that was, like, her move. Beyonce feels like that. There's, like, an artificial... to
like,
her.
That she was produced.
Yeah, overproduced.
She's
yeah.
fantastic.
Yeah.
I mean, if she were one of the greatest
guitar
players.
She's an amazing entertainer. Yeah.
If she were one of the greatest guitar players in the world, then you would probably prefer to see her play the guitar. But she's not. But she's an amazing
performer. The new Lemonade was the first album where I genuinely, like, really thought she was an artist.
No, man.
I think because she also, this is like the first album where she really put her heart into it.
Yeah.
You saw her raw. Like,
yeah.
More emotion than she's ever been able to show us.
And it seems like she had full and total control.
No, which song? Yeah. Are you going to be yelling out any song names? You don't seem like the type.
No, I'm not going to yell out song
You think Juanita's going to let him stand there and embarrassed to yell out song names?
You don't put cigarette lighters up in the air anymore, do you?
No,
you don't. Your phone flashlight.
Your phone?
Yeah. The flashlight on your phone.
They found a way to do it without a fire hazard.
I don't know. It's all yelling at people for doing things.
It was never a fire hazard.
Careful.
Well, hopefully, are you going to get to meet Adele at the end?
I don't think so.
All right, well.
I had to come back here anyway.
Have fun, and I'll be honest with you, I don't think I can carry the show without you. All right, here we are. Sasheer Zamata is with us, and we also have Mike Lawrence.
Zamata.
He doesn't want to say it, right?
He's just like, he can't.
He just doesn't want to.
He's locked into Zamata. I mean, I get it.
You Zamated it in show business, and he still won't acknowledge how to pronounce your name.
Oh, God.
I'm sorry, Zamata. Is that an African name?
I actually don't know. It's my grandma's middle name, and it's my middle name, so but we don't really know where it's from. Someone on Facebook like messaged me years ago and was like, I'm also a Zamata, but it's a white lady, so I don't know.
That's
I
weird.
Didn't respond.
Well, that reminds me of David Tell once. He had somebody, another Attell come down, like called him up or something and said, my name's Attell too, but it was like some cowboy from Texas.
Oh, wow.
Like somebody that didn't seem like there's any way in hell that he's related to Attell.
This is the thing about social media that really just boggles me, that it for some reason makes people think that they can just, like,
reach out to you.
Reach out to you.
No, this was before. This was years ago before the social media.
No, but I'm just saying, like she said on Facebook, I wouldn't in a million years do that.
Yeah, there's not many fun ways for a black person to find out they're related to a white person.
I know. Oh, cool. Your people took over my people. That's great.
Well, you could look at it that way, or you could look at it the other way, is that, you know, Like I always often hear black people saying, "Oh, you know, my often hear black people that are light skinned say, "Well, yeah, because my ancestors got raped." But the other side of that coin is your ancestors raped. Is that controversial?
What?
In other words, if you're half white and half black, or part white.
Oh, this is true. Yeah, you know, part of your ancestors raped.
Part of your ancestors on the other side.
I mean,
of that
it's not
coin.
Like. Good thing. Yeah, like a plus.
No, I'm just
not a positive.
Yeah, it's weird that they would side with the victim part and not the "I'm an asshole" part of their heritage.
This is what it is. I'm a sort of a mixture of whatever.
But, I always thought like Ancestry.com should offer a service where they could just wipe out your family history. So many people would pay for that. Affleck would have.
You need like the spotless mind option.
Oh, yeah. Like, what Affleck did is, like, so ballsy. Like, literally, it was Henry Louis Gates, like, asked a black person, "Can you not mention my slave-owning family's past?"
Oh, my God.
You remember that?
No, I don't remember
that. He did that show, Discovering Your Roots.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right.
He found out, yeah, so he found out that, like, you know, there's been some shitty Afflecks, and he asked him not to mention that or talk about it. He asked a black person.
You know. I mean, I could see why you wouldn't necessarily want to identify with that.
You go back enough generations, and there's going to be some creeps in there.
And Geely is still the worst thing that family's done.
I just got my Ancestry.com results back.
Oh, you did it?
Yeah.
And?
And I'm like a lot of percentage of me, I don't remember the actual number, is Nigerian, which I had no idea.
That's awesome.
And then some from the Ivory Coast, Ghana. Uh-huh. And that's like about it. But I thought I had some Indian in me, because that's what my family always said. Zero. No. It was like 0%.
Are you an American Indian or from the continent?
What's that? Oh, Native American. Yeah.
Any Haitian in you?
No.
Don't say it well.
I know.
What did you always identify yourself as?
I just said black African American, but I just didn't know
what black.
Yeah. We figured African, but I had no idea where we were from. But
now that you know, would you go back to those? I'm not too loud. I'm sorry. No. would you go back to those countries and try to, you know?
I do want to see it. Yeah, just to see like where we came from.
Does it make a difference now as to like how you see yourself?
I don't know. I don't think so. I just found out really days ago. So it's cool to just know because it was such a question mark. People would be like, "Where are you from?" or like, "Where is your family from?" And I would be like, "Don't know. Truly have no idea." But now it's cool to have an answer.
Because I know a friend of a friend who found out she was something and it just changed the way she see things. I'm like, "For real?
Really?"
Yeah, she's like 28 or 20, like 30. And she just like, I don't know. I guess it's an eye opener. Why do people do that? Just curious
about
their history?
Well, I'd be very, very curious. I would be curious. I don't, you know, if I could really do a family tree, but it's hard to do when your ancestors are from Eastern Europe and the records aren't very good. But
how much information did you actually have to put in?
A lot.
I put, like my birth information, my parents' birth information, like where they came from. But like I only had up to a certain point. And then they kind of did some more digging for records and stuff like that.
There's a better one that they actually do with DNA testing.
Yeah.
I
did that too. I did the spit thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then so you did both of them?
I did both of it, yeah. So I did all of that.
Which one gave you more info?
I think the DNA one did. Yeah. Yeah. Because it like broke down things in percentages and like gave me a map.
Yes.
And stuff.
I did the same thing.
Yeah. Where are you from?
Haiti. My family from Haiti. But Haiti, like he said, the records are pretty bad. So they... they stopped at the waters ahead.
Are you related to Toussaint Louverture?
I don't think so. I don't remember that one.
That one? You don't know who that is?
I do not know if I'm related to him. They didn't go that far. Like I said, the records in Haiti is not really good.
I don't want to look at, like, I already have enough of my own shame. I don't want the shame of, like, dead people. Yeah, for white people, it's literally just closing your eyes, sticking your hand
it's
in a
like,
bag, and like,
know.
Oh.
Wait, Mike, did you find out you're mostly African?
I don't think white people have a monopoly on shameful ancestors, but that is the Brooklyn way to say, the Brooklyn point of view. Mike, I do want to... shift a little bit back to show business.
Yeah.
Mike, the Amy Schumer show is no longer in production.
No.
And the roast is, of course, over.
Yeah.
So where does that leave Mike Lawrence in terms of his his career at this point?
Things are good. I'm going on the road a lot, and the winning roast battle was really good for my career. So doing a lot more writing. It's weird. Like I told my wife the other day, like I'm gonna be able to buy a house someday because I made a fat man cry on television. And I'm okay with that. You know, I felt weird about it at first. Like,
did someone actually cry?
Yeah. Yeah. Ralphie May.
He did?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Did you hear what I said earlier?
I understand you, but it's roast battle. I mean, you know, it's not like you get in there and you're
somehow...
Often,
you're all right. And Ralphie May, he be dishing it out. He dish out a lot of...
I mean, you know what you're signing up for. That's
People... He didn't expect me to do three jokes about his divorce.
About his divorce? Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. Not about his weight, because I know he's sensitive about his weight.
Oh, he is.
But it was the divorce that got it.
Well, there were divorce jokes about him being fat.
But also, he roasts people constantly.
But on his own terms. He's not used to getting it back, I don't think.
Yeah, not everyone who can dish it can take it.
Yeah.
But do you think that that should be allowed as a comic?
What, crying? Or?
No, like being...
I mean, what it is, you find...
No, crying in comedy.
A regular person, an average Joe, is allowed to kind of be like that. But if you're a comic, can you really
I can't take it? I'll disagree.
Yeah, you're a person. You're human.
Yeah.
Of course. You're allowed to have all the emotions that other people have.
No, but it's kind of like a surgeon saying, like, I don't do blood or something.
That's like a surgeon saying, I don't want someone else to operate on me or something. That's like a
chiropractor saying, these chiropractors are quacks.
Yeah, but it's also because, like, you know, you look at Twitter and stuff and some of the awful, I mean, we can use Leslie Jones as an example, but, like, you know, anybody, like, I mean, she got it the worst of anyone. But, you know, a lot of times when a non-comic is, like, just busting your balls, there's no humor in it. You know, it's like if I'm a comedian making fun of another comedian, like there's thought and all that, or, you know, we know each other, but it's literally, you're a dumb cunt. What, you can't handle it? And I'm like, no, I can't handle that. Yeah. There's no joke in it.
Well, I'm not talking about abuse. That is like, and what happened to Leslie Jones? I mean, that's
but a lot of people don't know the difference.
Yeah, that's true.
Some people say things like, oh, this is the thing you signed up for. Like, oh, you wanted to be famous, so you just got to take it. People want to make fun of you in the public. That's on you. And it's like, that's not what we signed up for.
That I don't agree
with. We signed up to, like, work, but not to have, like, people abuse us just because you can see us all the time.
I don't agree with the abuse part. I'm just saying, you know, Will, how many times you sit, I mean, at this very table, which is why we do the show at this table.
Yeah.
And it's just, I mean, you can get brutalized.
The difference is among
comedians. But not everyone wants to,
it's among other comedians. But when you strangers who are just, you know.
I'm not talking about strangers. I'm talking about to be a person that's like, oh, I can't take it in that context. With another comedian coming at you.
You know what happened is a lot of those comics, they don't sit, they move and they go sit somewhere else because they can't take the heat. You know what I'm saying? That's all. You just get up and leave. I mean, on Twitter, you can't get up and leave.
Yeah, Twitter, you block people.
I mean, the thing with the actual roast battle, it's like, yeah, you should know what it is and you sign up for it. But there's always, people get pissed. I mean, because they don't think you're going to go as far as you do sometimes.
Do they give you any guidelines? Do they ever? I mean, obviously not.
What I personally do, I always ask permission. Like, so every person I battle, I'm like, is there anything off limits? And then I respect it. And, you know, most of the time.
You ask?
Yeah, I did.
And he didn't say nothing.
He was like, you can't hurt me more than TMZ. And I just went, we'll see. And then just walked off.
Mike, can I shake your hand? Then you freaking.
But I think that's what you should do.
No comic has ever did. Like, that's amazing that you at least.
A lot of people do it. It's what should happen. It should be enforced.
Why was he called?
Especially on television, because it's like, you know. Like, if you do a joke just about, like, how ugly someone's, you know, girlfriend is, or, like, I've seen people do jokes about, like, someone's kids on a personal, I don't want to do that. I think that goes too far.
Yeah, just like when politicians bring up their kids and, like, dude, why you bring my kids up in this?
Yeah. Have you ever had a character that you had to play on SNL that you were kind of, like, that, you know, because it's making fun of someone that you were kind of, like, didn't feel...
Thankfully, no.
No.
I've been very lucky that... Well, not even lucky. Like, the environment at the show is one where people are open to hearing how you feel.
Yeah.
And so if there was anything where I felt uncomfortable, I could just tell somebody, and then they're like, oh, we'll try to work around this, or just change it completely.
What about the Trump episode? Did that feel weird?
Hey, can I tag off of
Did you say hate of that episode? Or Zahara, I'm sorry.
No, I mean, that's something we can't do anything about that. He was
it's
booked.
A job, yeah.
Yeah, it's a job, and I was hired to go do my job, so yeah. I had to go do the episode. But even then, I don't think there was anything I personally did in that episode that I felt like this is compromising everything I believe in. I mean, I just didn't want to be there with him, but like
right.
That's not on me. We didn't choose, you know, I don't right. They don't ask us all personally, everybody in the room, are you okay with this person? So
Will, you had something
It was tag off your question towards Mike. Mike, when I first saw Mike, man, you was like probably one of the funniest guys, like so funny, dude.
Thanks, man.
I freaking anyway.
I will say that Will does say that about a lot of people, but not
yeah. Okay.
Well, he
that's not true.
He's very generous.
But I was dirt poor when I met Will, and I literally had no money, and he gave me a couple bucks, and he was like, "Chris Rock did this for me years ago, and I want to do this for you right now."
No,
and I'll never forget that.
No. What happened was, Cat Williams saw me in L.A.
Oh, that's Cat Williams.
And he was like, "Man, these guys ain't paying you." He reached in his pocket and pulled out $800, $100 bills, and he put it in my hand and said, "You deserve this, blah, blah, blah." And I kept $400 in my pocket, and I'm like, I'm just going to hold on to this. Then when I saw Mike, I'm like, dude, this guy, I got to pass this $400 on to Mike.
But how did you know Mike was broke? I mean, Mike looks broke.
I had no idea he was broke. I just know that he was a new comic. I know new comics.
My socks were sticking out of my shoes. It was bad. Well, I had like the cartoon stink lines. Like it was really
but
bad.
But that's how much he moved me that I wanted to do something. All right. I had was just $400.
Well, he could be like a Howard Hughes type where he's eccentric.
But,
and he
but this is what I want to say.
Doesn't bathe, but yet he's worth millions.
But yeah. This is what I want to say, Mike. It's like, what is your ultimate goal? Like, is it movies, a sitcom, or talk show? Like, what is it Mike Lawrence want to do?
I think creating my own show that my wife is a producer on. I think that would be awesome to make something together.
What kind of, like, what do you see yourself as? Like, what type of
like a scripted, like, funny, you know,
sitcom.
Dark, weird, yeah. I mean, I've written a few that I would have liked to have sold. I wrote one about my 7.5 years at McDonald's, co-wrote that. I'd like to see that on the air. I don't know. I don't think that there's a really, truly funny, like, honest story about minimum wage people.
Where are you headed now?
He's hosting the show.
Oh, he's hosting. Okay.
He's going to NBC. And he's like,
I got to tell somebody about this show.
I'm going to make this happen for you.
Yeah. No, but yeah, I think the lower class aren't portrayed enough on television correctly. So I'd like to do a show about poor people.
Are you a poor person from your upbringing?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Like, where did you grow up?
I mean, I said, like, when Will gave me that money, that I wouldn't have been able to pay my rent that month if it wasn't
for
that guy.
Where did you grow up? What kind of?
Florida. Davie, which is like this, like, redneck trailer part of town. That's where I lived when I worked at McDonald's.
Oh, yeah, there are some parts of Florida that are.
Well, no, I know Florida's a mixed
if
bag.
If Trump wins, I'll know why.
Florida's,
it's,
you know,
the worst.
Not all Palm Springs, obviously. Well, yeah. Half of Florida's like the South, really.
Yeah.
The only time I got called the N-word was in Florida.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah. And I probably know the person that did it.
God.
What was the context of that occurrence?
I'm just driving down the street.
Really?
Passing me by, yeah.
You know what a lot of it is that Florida has no sense of identity because no one lived there until like the 60s and 70s and shit. So everyone overcompensates. Like in other parts of even like the South, like they'll keep their fucking mouth shut, even if they're feeling shitty things. But Florida, they're like, I've just got to like do this. It's like if the worst people read The Secret,
right,
and then followed through, that's Florida.
And then we gave them guns.
Yeah.
Also.
Because
on top of everything.
It's that like Trump race is like, not the people that support Trump, but Trump himself, where it's like, I don't even know if you believe this. You just like the attention you get from saying it.
Yeah.
Like, that's a lot of like shitty Florida racism.
Will is back joining us. Who'd you just bring on stage?
Jim Norton.
Jim Norton, okay.
DC Bane just got out. DC was super funny.
Do you like, I mean, you're what? Do you do regular spots here? You don't just MC.
Yeah, I do regular spots too.
I mean, what do you prefer?
It's a toss up. When I host, it's like I could do more. Like when you do a set, it's like you do a set and like joke A, joke B, joke C, jokes. Whereas when you're hosting, it's very dynamic. It's very loose. You have a good time. You do bad. You have a time to redeem yourself. You know.
Yeah, I don't like it. I told Esty, and we've discussed this, but I told Esty at some point a couple years back, No more emceeing for me. but I was doing
it. I'm glad you had that type of power. You see, white guys have all that power. Like, if I tell Essie no more hosting, there'll be no more will at the Comedy Cellar.
The Haitian population of this club will be down 100%.
I don't think that's true, Will. I think they like you well enough.
Yeah.
But the problem is they love you so much. I wasn't a host that they absolutely were in love with as a host. So for them, it wasn't that big a kick in the pants when I said I don't want to host anymore. But you're like a mainstay host. They love you.
I guess how you do it. Mike, what do you like, hosting or doing spots?
I mean, I like doing spots. Like, I feel the pressure, like, in hosting if, you know, if you don't set the table right and things like that. And I'm a naturally awkward person. Like, are you guys ready to see comedy?
Well, yeah, I mean, hosting. Yeah. Hosts are generally expected to interact more with the audience and say things like, so, hey, y'all, you know, how's everybody tonight? And
no, sometimes I just go right into my act. I just start doing jokes.
Yeah, well, you can do that, but most hosts are usually a little more interactive.
I'm one of those people, like, I can host a show if I believe in it, but, like if I'm at a good club and I like all of the acts, you know, I'm such an honest, like, autistic-y person that, like, if I really didn't like the comic, it would show. Guys, I'm sorry about this next person. You know, my hands are tied.
Really, we gotta put Will Sylvans on. Yeah.
See, I could take it.
You can take it. I know.
You prefer hosting?
I think I prefer doing. Well, I host my own show, but I actually ask the audience to ask me questions. Like, I love talking about myself. I don't really care about the audience, but I don't want to really engage with them or ask them anything. I don't care where you're from. I just want you to ask me more about myself. But yeah, I guess when I'm doing other people's shows,
Here at the Comedy Cellar, we don't ask SNL cast members to host.
Oh yeah.
So you wouldn't be hosting here. There is a certain.
But I did host a show the other night for a festival.
Pardon?
So I did.
No,
show.
You might. But here at the Comedy Cellar. Yeah. We don't do that here. Unless you insisted on hosting, then they'd probably say okay.
No, I wouldn't.
But
I
hosting
would never
is
insist.
Generally not like they're not going to say Louis C.K. Louis, can you host the nine o'clock show? It's just generally.
Well, he's not an SNL comic.
No, he's not. So maybe he should host. But he's generally hosting is seen as something lower on some level. Or
my mom did it for a year. My mom was a comic in the 80s and 90s.
Are you serious?
Yeah. Oh yeah. And. Carrot Top and Larry the Cable Guy are the two mega famous people from when she started. So the fact she hasn't killed herself is an amazing achievement.
Well, what's your mother's name?
Alice Colon.
Alice Colon?
Yeah.
C-O-L-O-N.
Yeah, named after the asshole. All right. She remarried.
Wait,
no.
Wait, how come you have a different last name?
Remarried.
Wait, I guess that's
my mom remarried, yeah.
That's a Spanish name, like Colon?
No, it's colon.
No, it's colon.
Okay. Like as in inflamed.
All right, okay.
And so she stopped doing stand-up?
Yeah, she stopped like in the early 2000s, yeah. Which I didn't realize how long ago the early 2000s were, and then I heard My Humps on the radio today, and I got nostalgic.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know, like 9-11.
That was a long time ago.
It was.
A lot of shit has happened. Like, when I think of 9-11, it seems like yesterday, but when I think of all the shit that's happened between now and then.
Yes.
And how much the world has changed.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it was like nobody was, there was no social, there was no Facebook. You know, a lot of people didn't, I don't even think I had the internet. And I mean, a lot of people did, but you could not have the internet in 2001, and you were considered a complete freak.
We were all on MySpace, and I have no idea how it works. I don't remember what we did on MySpace, but I know I was on it.
There was no MySpace. Not in 2001.
And music when you go to my little theme page.
Could you imagine if 9/11 was now? You get that alert. Are you okay?
Well, we were talking about.
That's what I was saying. What happened?
We were talking about that before you got here, Will, because the other night we had the bombing the other day, and a bunch of people in the audience started talking about it. Because they got alerts or whatever they got.
Yeah, I got an alert on my phone. Like, it was a flood warning.
But they were thrown out because they were talking about it and they were told to be quiet and then they were thrown out.
Oh, wow.
Because they continued to talk
about it.
But it was not a big thing that happened. Like, 25 people got hit and they all were out the hospital that same night.
Well, it does appear that the quality of terrorist attacks have gone down a great deal.
Do you think
9/11?
Do you think, like, ISIS members, like, talk shit about it? 25 wounded, pussy.
ISIS doesn't want to claim it.
He wasn't even wearing the bomb.
No.
If 9/11,
these terrorists ain't like they used to be. They like, no, I need to do
it. You can't. Somewhere.
He was emotionally distant from his own work. Like, he even was embarrassed by it. He's like, I'm not strapping this to my chest.
And not only that, he didn't make it good. Two guys pulled it out the bag and disabled it from pulling out the bag. You know that? The second bomb.
Yeah, then they had the one where the robot tried to deactivate it or whatever.
If 9/11 was the Rolling Stones the other day and Chelsea was the Bay City Rollers at best.
Oh, God. On that note.
How long have you been waiting for to
wrap us up, Dan?
Well, it's a funny thing, Will, you bring that up. I did think about that before I got down here.
Gnome is at a Bay City Rollers concert right
you
now.
You know, sometimes those prefabricated jokes work well, sometimes not. One, of course, you never know what the response will be at home from our listeners on Sirius and on podcast.
Oh, God.
But you all are familiar with the Bay City Rollers. That's not the problem.
No, we are familiar.
I don't know, but I'm sure.
The Scottish band who did a song Saturday Night.
And, well, they also did, there was one other song they had.
Can you sing Saturday Night?
S-A-T-U-R.
Saturday Night. Saturday Night.
I was singing, why are you interrupting my Saturday Night?
He wasn't. He was harmonizing.
But that wasn't harmony. He was singing another verse.
Christ.
Uh-oh.
I'm just saying. No, there's no
way to bring it to a grinding halt.
Not
thank you so much.
No, I didn't bring it to a grinding halt. You brought it to a grinding halt with your exaggerated response.
Uh-oh.
It was a lighthearted
statement. What exaggerated response?
Well, I lightheartedly said, why you sing a Saturday Night with a different verse? And you were like, oh, shit. Oh, damn.
I love white on white crime.
You know, you exaggerated the intensity of it, like De Niro in Goodfellas.
I did
like,
of
oh
the
shit,
sort.
You want to take that motherfucker?
I did nothing of the sort. I didn't say anything about it. You brought it up.
Your face said everything that needs to be said.
I didn't even notice what was happening. This is how much you read into things incorrectly.
It's just a Saturday night. Come on, Mike. Let's go. Let's do it. We can do it now.
I'm so scared.
I've given up.
All right. We all have. Well,
but so
this has been another episode of You Asked Me to Do This.
Do you know?
But you invited me. Episode one.
Sashir, do you know the Bay City Rollers?
When you started singing that song, I recognized that song.
See, we're not so far apart as black and white.
Oh, is that what brings us together? That one song?
It seems like the Bay City Rollers, there couldn't be a whiter band in history.
I don't know if I'm a good litmus for that.
Are you like, did you grow up in a white...
very suburban areas. My dad was in the military, so we were a lot of military bases.
Move around a lot.
Yeah.
Okay.
I was often one of a couple colored people.
And how you got into comedy?
I just started doing improv in college, and then when I moved here, started doing UCB, and then sketch and stand up.
So you had a love for it.
Yeah, yeah, I was a fan. Just a comedy fan when I was younger. Truly didn't know how to do it when I was younger because I grew up in Indianapolis, and that was not a thing that was a plausible thing for people to do. But then when I moved to New York,
it's not a plausible thing for anybody to do in most places.
That's true.
You know, if you don't grow up like Mike Lawrence had the benefit, I suppose, of growing up with a comedian mother. I don't know.
That made me not want to do it. Nothing your parents do is cool. And,
yeah, exactly.
Yeah, watching my mom watch Chairman of the Board and going, that could have been me, did not make me want to do. I remember I watched Hook when I was like 9 years old. With Robin Williams, my mom walks in the room and she just goes, "He's a fucking joke thief."
Oh God!
So I
she
never.
She ruined it for you.
Oh yeah. She was telling me stories about like working with Dave Chappelle when I was watching the shitlock scene in The Nutty Professor.
Can we Google your mother? Is she or did she quit too long ago?
No, only my stepdad gets to Google it.
Usually the kids don't want to be what their parents are, unless if their mother's
a
hoe.
Well, that's not what I'm seeing in Hollywood, where every actor's kid wants to be an actor. You know, or many do. In any case, it seems there might be that rule might hold true generally, but it seems like in Hollywood there may be an exception to that.
Yeah.
But we'll see what happens with Shiloh Jolie Pitt, the newly, from a newly broken home.
Yeah.
And we didn't have time to talk about that, but about the breakup of Brangelina. I don't know if that's Will, if that's something that hits you personally.
The day Brad was able to admit he doesn't know any of the names of the adopted kids. Well,
I thought either they was going to last forever, like Johnny Cash. Johnny Cash, he was married, but then he met his real wife, his soulmate. While he was cheating, and he ended up being with her till both of them died. I thought same thing with Brad. When he left Jennifer, like, okay, maybe he needs to be with her, but then there's karma, like, you know, like, yeah. I feel like Jennifer's, you know, this is like, it happened to me now.
It's funny how people do that, like, when Gene Wilder passed away and everyone was like, he's in heaven with Gilda now. And there was this woman he was married to for 25 years that took care of him when he had Alzheimer's, which was probably the fucking worst. And she's like, no, he's waiting for me.
basically. Don't discredit the person he spent the rest of his life with.
Yeah. Maybe they have threesomes.
all of them are finally together.
Well, you know better than that, though. You know that two super famous people being married has never worked in the history of the universe.
Never?
I don't think so. Joanne Woodward and Paul Newman were the closest, but I don't think Joanne Woodward was that big a name, other than the fact that she was married to Paul Newman. She was an actress.
What about Tom Hanks and Rita Wilson?
Yeah, but she's not a big name. She was just in a couple episodes of Bosom Buddies or something.
What about Lucy and Vicky?
They were divorced. They split. They split up.
All right. Danny DeVito and Rhea Perlman.
Divorced.
God fucking damn it. Oh, Jesus. America's couple? Yes.
They're divorced. certainly not in Hollywood. Now, you can be famous maybe in other areas. You know, Madame Curie and her husband maybe stayed married. Everybody's leaving. Where are you going, Montella? You got to see Adele as well?
Let's go.
All right. Well, we have to, we're out of time. But thank you to my guest, Mike Lawrence.
Thanks for having me.
And Sasheer Zamata.
Yes, you
I'm
got
making
it.
Making sure we're capturing all of this gold. That's all.
All right. And, thank you for that. And,
yeah.
You can see Sasheer on the, what season? My God, it just keeps going. I remember with season 15, we're like, enough already. And now we're at
42?
42. Yeah.
The meaning of life, according to Douglas Adams.
Twice the run of The Simpsons, I guess.
It is not. Simpsons, I think, is on its 28th season.
Oh, Jesus.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Wow.
Not bad for a Tracy Ullman spinoff.
Mike Lawrence can be seen, I assume, at comedy clubs from coast to coast.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you could probably check out his website. He probably has one.
Yeah, MikeLawrenceComedy.com. Yeah.
And hopefully you can see them both at the Cellar.
Yes.
Well, you can see Mike at the Cellar. And Sasheer, she said, she told Noam that she was going to.
I'll come.
I don't know that she will or she won't.
I will come.
Okay.
Yeah.
So people look free.
And you're a delightful young lady.
Yes.
Thanks.
I appreciate it. Mike Lawrence is, he's a handful, but but we love him nonetheless. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you the next time on the Live from the Table. What is the show even called? Live from the
Live from the Table.
I don't fucking. That was the old name.
Comedy Cellar Show.